O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. For you, O Lord, do I wait.
It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer.
O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger,
nor dismay me in your wrath.
For your arrows have sunk into me,
and your
there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation.
There is no health in my bones because of my sin.
For my iniquities have gone over my head.
Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me.
My wounds stink and fester
because of my foolishness.
I am utterly bowed down and prostrate.
All day I go about mourning.
For my sides are filled with burning,
and there is no soundness in my flesh.
I am feeble and crushed.
I groan because of the tumult of my heart.
O Lord, all my longing is before you.
My sighing is not hidden from you.
My heart throbs, my strength fails me.
And in the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me.
My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague,
and my nearest kin stand far off.
Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin,
and meditate treachery all day long.
But I am like a deaf man, I do not hear.
Like a mute man who does not open his mouth.
I have become like a man who does not hear,
and in whose mouth are no rebukes.
But for you, O Lord, do I wait.
It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer.
For I said, only let them not rejoice over me,
who boast against me when my foe slips.
For I am ready to fall,
and my pain is ever before me.
I confess my iniquity.
I am sorry for my sin.
But my foes are vigorous, they are mighty,
and many are those who make me wrongfully.
Those who render me evil for good
accuse me because I follow after good.
Do not forsake me, O Lord.
O my God, be not far from me.
Make haste to help me,
O Lord, I
wait.
It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer.
From now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him. And she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you may know, in our 5 midweek Lenten services this year, we are hearing St. Matthew's account of Jesus's passion, and we are reflecting on an arguable example of prophecies being fulfilled in each of the 5 location portions of the Passion that we hear over the 5 weeks. Each example of prophecy and its fulfillment reiterates for us God's will and work to save us sinners who are sorry for our sin and trust God to forgive us by grace for Jesus' sake. 2 weeks ago, we considered how in the upper room, Jesus seemed to speak about his, in some sense, actively fulfilling Psalm 41, verse 9, about the one who ate his breads, lifting his heel against him. Last week, we considered how, on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus spoke about his and his disciples in some way passively fulfilling Zechariah 13, verse 7, about the Lord of hosts striking the shepherd and thereby scattering the sheep. And this week, we consider how at the palace of the high priest, Peter actively fulfills Matthew 26, verse 34, about his denying Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows. Now you might say to me, "Wait a minute, Pastor. that prophecy about Peter's denial was not from the Old Testament. And of course, you are right about that. Jesus made that prophecy, as we heard in last week's reading. And you might say to me, and St. Matthew's account does not explicitly say that Jesus' prophecy was fulfilled. And of course, you are right about that too. Although by his telling us that Peter was reminded about the saying that Jesus had said, and by repeating what was said, the divinely inspired St. Matthew certainly seems to intend that we consider Jesus' prophecy to have been fulfilled. Just like he explicitly reported that the words spoken by and written by Old Testament prophets were fulfilled. To be sure, we can consider Jesus' prophecy to be fulfilled, and we can consider that that prophecy is, in fact, fulfilled. For example, last week we mentioned Jesus' prophecy that he would not lose any of the disciples other than Judas, which is explicitly said to have been fulfilled. And earlier, Jesus had prophesied about other things that would function as signs for his disciples, such as a man's carrying a water jars, indicating where Jesus and his disciples would celebrate the Passover, which the disciples found exactly as Jesus had told them. And Jesus had also prophesied about his being crucified, which prophecy later is apparently specifically said to have been fulfilled. Although Jesus was both the prophet and the object of Peter's denial, in the case of tonight's reading, the prophecy and fulfillment more directly involve Peter, the first of Jesus' disciples turned apostles, who, as we heard last week, had fled like the others, but who had followed at a distance, and apparently, thanks to the help of John, was sitting with the guards in the courtyard of the high priest in order to see the end. But Peter did not make it that far. One servant girl brings the first denial. Another servant girl brings the second denial with an oath. And bystanders bring the third denial with cursing and swearing. The English Standard Version that was read took Peter's cursing as directed towards himself, but Peter's curses may have been directed at Jesus. Regardless, immediately the rooster crowed at least one time, and Peter was reminded of the saying of Jesus, and having gone out, he wept bitterly. We hear of Peter's denial, and we shake our heads. But we should humble ourselves over our own denials and our other sins. As Peter did, we have heard our Lord say that we should deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. For those who try to save their lives will lose them, but those who lose their lives for his sake will find them. And we have heard our Lord say that whoever confesses him before people, he will confess before his Father in heaven. But whoever denies him before people, he also will deny before his Father in heaven. Our faithfully confessing Jesus and the fullness of his teaching may have consequences for us and the congregation that we do not want to endure. But consider the alternative of eternal damnation. We should not fear people who can kill only the body, but we should fear God, whom can destroy soul and body in hell. Of course, we deserve that eternal damnation on account of both our sinful nature and all of our actual sin, whether sin against the second commandment by cursing or swearing in God's name, or sin against the eighth commandment by giving false testimony, or sin against any of the other commandments, as we all do. We may confess with our words that we know God, but we may deny him by our works. The Holy Spirit's working through the humble means of a rooster's crowing, whether at the day's first light or a special crowing, reminded Peter of Jesus' word and produced his bitter tears. Likewise, the Holy Spirit's working through God's word and humble means of water, touch, and bread and wine leads to our sorrow over our sin and to what Peter apparently still lacked at this point, namely trust that God forgives our sins for Jesus' sake. As we sang in tonight's psalm, we confess our iniquity and are sorry for our sin. We ask the Lord not to forsake us. We ask our God not to be far from us. We ask the Lord our salvation to make haste to help us, and he does. While Peter was outside in the courtyard denying Jesus, Jesus was inside the high priest's house, confessing essentially who he was, what he was doing, and how he was doing it. Jesus said that the high priest himself had said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. But the high priest considered Jesus to have blasphemed, and the council judged that Jesus deserved death. All three synoptic gospel accounts report Jesus' apparently being blindfolded and then being mocked as a prophet who should identify who struck him. And Jesus is not reported as answering. Apparently, so defenseless was he in their minds that he must not be the Messiah. Little did they imagine that the man Jesus is not using the divine attributes or powers that were his by way of his personal union of his two natures was in order that he could die on the cross for the sins of the world, for their mocking, for Peter's denials, for your and my denials, and for all of our other sins as well. Although their false witnesses apparently intentionally got it wrong, Jesus had said truly that they would destroy the temple of his body and he would raise it up in 3 days. And they did so destroy it, and he did so raise it up. Afterwards, Jesus is said to have 3 times reinstated Peter. When we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive us for Jesus' sake, then God does forgive us, our sinful nature and all our actual sin, our sins of denial, our sins of thoughtlessly swearing, false testimony, or whatever our sin might be. God forgives us through his word and sacraments. We do not deny, but confess both our sin and who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and how he gives us the benefits of what he did for us on the cross. In holy baptism, in holy absolution, and in the Holy Supper. In holy baptism, we each individually renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways. And we each individually confess faith in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. After confessing the sins that we know and feel in our hearts, in holy absolution, we are forgiven in the same name of that triune God. And as often as we in the Holy Supper eat the bread that is Christ's body and drink the wine that is Christ's blood, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, faithfully confessing Jesus and the fullness of his teaching. In all of these ways, God forgives us and transforms us. God strengthens our faith when we see Peter forgiven after his denial, encouraging us to believe that grace abounds to us more than sin. Such strengthening of our faith is one of the honors that we give to the saints, along with thanksgiving to God for showing such examples of his mercy, revealing his will to save us, and giving teachers and other gifts to his church. And we imitate Peter's faith and other virtues according to our callings in life. We do not let the consequences for us and the congregation that we do not want to endure keep us from faithfully confessing Jesus and the fullness of his teaching. With Jesus' other prophecy fulfilled, we know and trust that his prophecy about our ultimately being delivered from our afflictions to eternal life in his time and way also will be fulfilled. Tonight we've considered St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passions, fulfilling specifically the prophecy of Matthew 26, verse 34. Two other examples of prophecy fulfilled will come in turn in the next 2 weeks. As Jesus generalized elsewhere, what is written in the scriptures that must be fulfilled is both that he should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So repentance and forgiveness has been proclaimed to us. May God use us likewise to proclaim it to others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the loneliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has exalted the lowly. the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
You may be seated. From everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, Lord.
We poor sinners implore you, to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living. To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth
all who have erred and are deceived.
We are warriors to hear us, O Lord.
To beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all people concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation. To protect and guide all who travel.
We implore you to hear us,
to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers. Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord, have mercy. Judgment with your servant, for in your sight shall no man living be justified. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you. meditate on our Lord's passion and intercede for his manifold blessings. We're especially glad to have Dawn's family with us. You want to introduce your sister and nephew?
This is my sister, Carrie Fox, and my nephew, Levi Fox. They live in Canyon Lake, which is outside of
We're glad to have you all here, and we'll get to see more of you, Levi, as school progresses next year for college. Thanks to Dawn for the wonderful meal before the service, if you missed out.
Hey, I brought Tupperware, the disposable Tupperware, to share, so I expect everybody to take some home.
Okay.
You can't eat all that.
Yeah. Mom wants at least one serving.
Yes, I'll get one. Maybe. Maybe.
So feel free to take some home if you'd like. But see, Amelie and Nolan, they're on spring break, so they've been fending for themselves for food. And I keep telling Amelie she needs to try the tuna cream of mushroom soup potato chip casserole. How many of you have that?
Well, not me, it's fish.
It's fish.
It's still
that
fish.
I think it must be a Midwestern thing. Yeah. I know, I think my sister would say that it's disgusting too now, but she grew up on it kind of like I did. She had no choice. Anyway, glad to see the rest of you as well. Normal stuff on Sunday. Any other announcements?
No?
They're going to wait another week before they stuff the eggs.
Go ahead and bring it and just put it back in.
You can bring it, yes. Yeah.
They got plenty of plastic eggs, haven't you?
I think they're, yeah, looking more for
candy and small toys.
Small toys or something.
Stickers or...
Yeah. I kind of got the impression they had enough candy and they were looking more for something.
Well, I only see this one bag out there, but